All right, welcome into the Fan Pregame, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now. We're 2 hours till puck drop. Ailish Forfar, Justin Cuthbert will have you here for 2 hours. 1 hour here on the network, and we'll shift over to Sportsnet 590, the Fan, for the radio for another hour. We're going to be joined by two Lukes and an Elliot. Luke Fox, Luke Gazdick, and Elliot Friedman.
That's a good rundown.
Not bad.
That is a good rundown.
And we've got a text line open all night. And we don't usually get into them, but we will today. Your predictions for the Four Nations final tonight, 590-590. Standard message and data rates apply. We will go through them. We'll have lots of time. As I mentioned, we will be here till puck drops. So send them in.
I was a little busy filling in on the Fan Hockey Show today. But you had a very Canadian day all day, making sure that you were putting everything in the right
I did my part.
In the right space. Like, do you want to detail?
I played some Tragically Hip on the vinyl. Okay. I went to the grocery store, bought only Canadian products, which, I mean, I'm doing anyway, but I was very attentive to it.
The most attentive you've been.
My dog Bunker's wearing his Canada bandana. Like, I'm wearing red. Like, we're going for
it. Okay, I think you've,
done my part.
You've done your part. The karmic forces at work will at least be aided by your efforts today, I think.
Yes. All right, let's kick it off with our only non-Luke guest of the night. Elliot Friedman of 32 Thoughts joins us. Elliot, how are you?
Those guys are terrible. I'm good. How are you doing?
We get the first look at the blue corduroy.
This is very special.
Yeah. I made sure the ties got red in it. I don't want anybody accusing me of anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you're looking good. Let's start with
It brings, Ailish, I wear the people ask, how can you wear blue today? The blue brings out the best in my eyes, Ailish and Justin. So that's why I wear the blue.
You look striking. Okay, let's focus on, let's take a look at the health of the teams and the broadcasters. Okay, so how's everybody feeling when we look at both lineups tonight? And I guess you guys as well.
Everybody is feeling good, it looks like. Canada, we've got no injury concerns for the Canadians. Now that Cale Makar's back and healthy, they're all fine. Team USA, there were some concerns yesterday. They said Brady Tkachuk's absence was due to, because he wasn't feeling well. He took the optional skate this morning. Mike Sullivan said everybody is available except Charlie McAvoy, who we do believe is going to be at the game tonight. If there's any changes tonight, Sullivan indicated it won't be for health. And the one we're watching is Chris Kreider for Kyle Connor. Kreider did not take the optional skate this morning. Connor did. I'm going to wait till I see what the warm-up looks like, but there's a lot of belief here that he could be making the switch.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise to you. Kyle Connor obviously hasn't, put his stamp on this tournament in a profound way. But this is a guy who can score goals, and Chris Kreider can as well. But I was a little taken back by that suggestion that it could be Connor coming out for Kreider.
I was surprised, too. I mean, I think Connor's a great player. We watch him all the time in Winnipeg. But if you kind of look at the way that this tournament has progressed, he started a little higher in the lineup. He moved down. This is going to be a grinding game tonight. Like, I remember watching. The one thing that's kind of been forgotten about everything else that was so great about the Canada-U.S. game is, a bunch of current NHL players said it was one of the best defensive games they've ever seen there. Considering all the elite offensive talent out there, Justin, there was, no room to move. McDavid had his one goal, but other than that, everything was turnovers and 1950s football, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So I wonder if they think Kreider is better suited for that. When Tkachuk missed the practice yesterday, Connor was in his spot on PP2. So we kind of thought that, maybe if Tkachuk didn't play, Connor would get that spot. But we're all waiting to see what this means here tonight.
I'm really curious your thought on, or maybe how much you've learned about Binnington throughout all this. He's the only one to play all games for his team. He has the big Game 7 moment here. Obviously, we know he likes to win in this barn or has done it. Where are you at about learning about his mindset, his confidence level? He's a fighter. He's a competitor. And tonight might be one of the biggest games that he's going to play since that Game 7.
So we had a chance to sit down with him yesterday, Ailish, and I asked him, I said, Kelly Rudy says there's some buildings as a goalie that you go into and you think you can win, but he can't explain it. And I asked him about that, and he said, he can't explain it either, but he feels very, very comfortable here for obvious reasons. Binnington is confident. Sitting there with him yesterday, there were no nerves. There was nothing worried. He believes in himself. I think a lot of people would say that the USA has the goaltending matchup edge going into tonight. You know, Connor Hellebuyck, the first goal he gave up in this tournament against Finland, had a lot of people going, uh-oh. But since then, in the two games he's played, he's been really, really good. And, you know, we're going to air some clips of our, because we spoke to both of them yesterday. I have to say to you guys, I don't think there's a lot of love lost between Connor Hellebuyck and Jordan Binnington. Like, you know, I asked them, you know, what do you see when you see the other guy standing at the other end of the ice? And responses were pretty interesting. I would say they weren't exactly warm or romantic in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Very interesting. I don't know if you should be talking about ratings before the actual event. That might be bad luck. And I guess we don't have to completely go down that road. But being in this building all day and seeing ESPN in the far corner of the television monitors that are in our little hub there, PK Subban all day on every single show, making news, pushing NHL narratives, pushing the game, pushing tonight. What have we learned in terms of the impact before we even see the total impact based on the lead up of the last couple days and how everyone's talking about the game before it even starts?
You know, Justin, I never worry about ratings. I've seen people that, you know, work in our business with us. They're so focused on them, it drives them to craziness. I think you always prepare as if there's a billion people watching you, although thankfully for billions of people, that's never happened to me. But the thing is, like, you can't miss what is going on here.
Yeah.
It's, you know, for all those people, you know, when you come into this tournament, first of all, people were like, the NHLers aren't going to take this seriously. Like, I couldn't believe anybody thought that, but that theory has been completely proven 1,000,000,000% wrong. But the other one, I think, that people kind of were really wrestling about, is it better to have this in February or in September? And the players don't want it in September because it takes away from their offseason, but there are a lot of people in the business side of the league and the Players Association who felt that we have to play it in February because there's too much football on, and not just the NFL, but there's college football, there's high school football. Like, football's king in the U.S. And if they felt that if they ever wanted to grab the sporting consciousness, it had to be now. I think that's been proven to be accurate. Like, you know, everybody's making fun of the NBA All-Star game. Hey, the NHL's had its share of bad All-Star games too, but the fact is the timing is perfect. And you can't miss it. Like, everywhere you go here, people are talking about it. As you said, like, we're in the States right now, so we're watching ESPN a lot. It's all over the place there, and definitely PK has stood up to do his part. And you know what? I'm not really much of a political guy. You know, I kind of roll my eyes at a lot of what gets said because I think it's just, it's brainless. But, you know, like, You can't ignore the backdrop of it. You know, the flag waving has been enormous. You know, the American fans, like, John Cooper was asked today, is it, you know, he said, like, it's just, it's big because it's USA versus Canada, and it is. I think there's a lot of that there, but there's no question a lot of people have been dragged into it too because of all the rhetoric that's being said, even though a lot of it's just crazy.
Yeah, I'm interested in your perspective of how tonight goes with all that because, you know, obviously we heard that the U.S. team got a call from the President of the United States today. A lot of them are feeling very inspired by his words, feeling very inspired by his message. Of course, this is USA-Canada in the United States. Like, how does Boston play a different backdrop into what we're going to see tonight with the anthems, with the introductions, with your expectations?
Well, it's going to be hard to top Montreal. I mean, that was an incredible atmosphere, one of the best I'd ever seen, Ailish. You know, Boston as a city is a very, very passionate city. And I think, you know, there's some places where you, if you go in the U.S. and, you know, I think Philadelphia would be another one. Like, you know, there's a big edge, right? And, you know, there were, even though they lost the night here to Sweden, there were a lot of USA jerseys here. Like, right below us, there were four people wearing Team 1980 U.S. Olympic jerseys. I think I saw five. I think I saw two Jack O'Callaghans, two Mike Iruzionis, and a Jim Craig. Like, this city is going to be wired up for this game tonight. You know, Jack Hughes said today, like, he was asked about the call, and he said, look, like, do we really need any more motivation? And I think that's so true. Like, it builds it up, it builds it up, it builds it up, it adds to the hype. But when the puck drops tonight, it's not going to matter if the leader of your country called the team. It's these guys are going to scrap and they're going to fight and they're going to claw each other's eyes out. And it's going to be, I don't know if there's going to be three fights in the first 9 seconds. I tend to bet against it, Ailish. But I think they're going to fight for every inch of ice tonight. It's going to be a fierce, fierce game.
Cannot wait for it. We're talking to Elliot Friedman of 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. We were talking a couple minutes ago about all the eyeballs that are going to be on this game and on the players. Of course, there are a multitude of stars in the game, established stars that everyone is familiar with. But I wonder for you, Elliot, have you seen a star-making performance at the Four Nations Faceoff?
I think the Tkachuk brothers have crossed over, and especially if they win tonight and they're big players. I think they've crossed over into that realm that they're almost bigger than the sport now in this country. They are seen as personalities. You can really feel, Matthew in a piece that's airing tonight said just walking around Boston, he could really feel it. You know, the amount of people that were saying things to him. Just sending texts around the league today. Justin, asking like what people thought, like what are the big keys to the night? And there were a lot of the Tkachuks have it. And in one game, you wonder about what that it can drag the players to do. And JT Miller talked about that yesterday, that they drag you into the fight. They love hockey so much. I think the good omen for Canada was against Finland. All their superstars were scoring. The one thing I think with Canada is someone on the in the bottom six tonight is going to have to do something, whether it's one play or a series of plays. I think those superstars are going to be great, but I think they're going to need a little bit of help. I think 1-18, U.S. has been a little bit better than Canada, and that has to change this evening.
We found out a little bit about the voting process for MVP. I'm not sure if you have one or not, but going
I do.
In...
Okay, I'm one of the voters.
I anticipated you would. You don't maybe need to tip your hand, but I think there's been MVPs, like a multitude of MVPs for each team. Like, it's not just one standout. Who would be maybe their top of your list pregame that have led their teams to this final championship game?
You know what? I'm refusing to say that. And not because I'm afraid or anything like that, Ailish, mm-hmm. but I think tonight's its own night. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that you could certainly say Crosby. He's been fantastic, and if he has a typical Crosby game tonight, he probably wins it and Canada wins. But I don't know. I'm looking at this as a clear blank slate game. For those of you who don't know the way this works, you have to have a top three in with 10 minutes to go in the third period, but you're allowed to put certain things there. Like if this player scores the winning goal or is part of the winning play, make them number one. Or if this goalie wins the game, make them number one. But I'm going into this one with an open mind tonight because this is the biggest game, and I think the player who has the biggest impact on this game, even if it's someone who hasn't had a big tournament so far, I think they should be consideration, and we rank them 1, 2, and 3. So I'm going to let tonight basically determine my vote.
Okay, I like that. More intrigue. We don't know if we need more intrigue, but we're getting it with the MVP award as well. It hasn't necessarily been a quiet time for the NHL. It's not like they're on the beach like all the players are enjoying the 10 days because there's been a lot to sift through in terms of roster decisions and injuries and all of the things that went into this tournament that weren't necessarily spoken for. But I wonder if there's been some talk about what's to come and what has been, I guess, produced or established through the benefit of this tournament. There's been some talk about rule changes and things that have been tried out during games, whether it's intermissions or stuff within the run of play. Like, has there been something that has been so successful during this tournament that you could just see it immediately be adopted moving forward?
Well, I do think the GM meetings are March 17th to 19th, 10 days after the trade deadline. I definitely think the overtime, the 10-minute 3-on-3, is going to come up. Now,
yes.
I'm not sure that they're going to go to 10. I wonder if Ailish... I've never heard you so excited by one of my answers.
It's your best answer yet, Elliot.
I wonder if they're going to go to 7 or 8 instead of 10. But I do think at the very least there's going to be a conversation about what do we want to do here. Because it's very clear that the players like it as a whole as opposed to the shootout. You know, the expanded TV commercial breaks, there was an extra 30 seconds during each period and 1 minute less in the intermissions. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the players felt there was too much standing around. Patrick Laine said after Finland got knocked out, I asked him about that. He goes, make sure you write that I hate it. So I've written it and I've said it. I don't think he's a minority in this one. I'll tell you this. I think the next time they do this, the rosters will be larger. There'll be 25 players instead of 23. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I'll say this. The NHL hasn't always been crazy about the extra camera on the ice when a player scores so you can get the celebration down the bench. I heard that's been a big hit here. I heard it's moved the needle. And I think that one could stay at some level.
I did a bad job today, Elliot, because I did not bring up Mike Lang in our discussion on the Fan Hockey Show, which is probably a better format for it. But I wanted to give you the opportunity here to, you know, express why he means so much to the hockey world.
Well, I think this. I think that, you know, one of the things I think that's happened is in my lifetime, and I was born in 1970, the NHL has switched from more of a regional league to more of a national league. Like, there are still obviously regions that are very powerful and teams that carry a lot of sway, but right now you can watch more games than ever. So like the regionals are still very important, but back then when I was a kid, they were king. And your regional voice was the person who spoke hockey to you. And Mike Lang was that guy in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he was fortunate in the sense that he had a great team, but with a great team, you have to elevate yourself to the level of that team. And he did. Those players loved the way he called their goals. He called a lot of really rough hockey before he got to call great hockey, but he always made it interesting. He always made it exciting. He loved the Penguins. He loved being involved. He had the great calls. Elvis has left the building. I don't even want to imitate him because it doesn't do it justice. I always love scratch my back with a hacksaw. Yeah. I remember the first time I heard that and I was like, what the heck? I love that. But I just think that there are so many regional voices in our country and in North America that speak the game for us. And he was that guy. And also, Mike was a very nice person. I mean, I saw something today online where someone posted that they emailed him, I guess not too long ago, and just asked for some advice. And, you know, he wrote them back and said, I want to go over some stuff with you. And, you know, that made me feel a little bit bad because I get a lot of that. And while I answer a lot of it, I can't get to all of it. And it's just a reminder that, one little thing can really make someone feel better. So I got to get a little bit better at that.
That's okay, Elliot. You've been very generous with your time tonight. So that's a plus for you tonight. I know it'll be between Cece and you. I'm sure somebody will have a nice moment, like a tribute, a sentence for Mike. Mm. You think?
Or Sidney Crosby himself. Slap them silly.
Yes. Somebody will do it. But tonight's going to be CC's night. He's going to get a great game-winning goal call at some point.
I love it.
And I look forward to hearing it.
All right, Elliot. We can tell the ratings are already spiking because everyone's seen your blue suit in the pregame show. So they will be tuning in about 40 minutes to see it when you guys take the air. We appreciate you coming on. Enjoy tonight and all the best travels back.
All right, guys, have a great night. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the game, Canada.
Yeah, thanks so much. That's Elliot Friedman of 32 Thoughts, of course, Hockey Night in Canada. Yeah, I went down a rabbit hole and watched a lot of Mike Lang video last night. Mm. And there's a lot, it's so good. It's so unique. Like, get in the fast lane, Grandma. Like, that's one you could use tonight. Like, it's just everything's happening.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the broadcasters do, but like it just feels like perfect for a Ron intro to have a little bit of Mike Lang.
Or Sidney Crosby to have a big night.
In it, or Sidney to have a big night tonight. Elliot mentioned the flag waving with the Americans. Despite all the athletic success that America has, they don't have like that many moments like this, right? Because a lot of the sporting culture in the States is just like the regional culture, which is professional sports, the four major professional sports leagues where, it's very territorial. It's very regional, like it was for the Pittsburgh Penguins and Mike Lang. But I saw some photos and some video of everyone packed in bars wearing USA colors. Mm-hmm. And like that just felt like such a Canadian thing with the very special Canadian moments we have, despite all their success athletically at Olympics, at whatever. I don't know if they have so many moments like this where everyone's just on board, mm-hmm. capturing and catching a wave like this. So it's an interesting look at both countries. Like, clearly this is it for us. This is the biggest thing. We love this. But this is a rare moment in time for them too. And I think it's going to do absolute crazy numbers south of the border. And of course, we know what we're going to get north of the border.
We've got our text line open up 590-590. Standard message and data rates apply. We're going to be on for another hour and a half, so we'll have less time to get to your thoughts. What are your predictions for the Four Nations final? I think we'll get through our predictions a little bit now with our best segment. So I'm really leaning into Captain Canada, Crosby, tonight. I've been watching his MVP numbers. They've moved up and down, but I think he's got a little bit of value still at plus 350. So I just think, you know, he's a guy that's made for the big moments. My pre-tournament bet was for him to lead the tournament in points and lead the team in points, and he's right on the cusp of doing that. He's just, time and time again, knows how to deliver in the big moments, so you can still get him at MVP of the tournament at plus 350. But I'm a little curious, well, maybe we'll come back on this, about Elliott's thoughts. Like, he said, oh, it's kind of whoever shows up tonight. Maybe he's just trying to keep us off the scent. But it is interesting, because it could be anybody. You could, you know, Mitch Marner could get a goal tonight, and that he could be MVP. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Yeah. But right now, Crosby would be, I think, a pretty good value pick.
I think it is interesting. Definitely there's some, well, if nothing really happens, like, yeah, if Adam Fox scores a goal in a 1-0 game, like, MVP? I guess maybe Connor Hellebuck would get some credit for that. But mm-hmm. I just think, you know, some of what we've seen is going to apply. And Sidney Crosby leads the team in points, co-leads the tournament in points. So I think he does have a leg up, and one contribution might be enough. But it is interesting in that, like, Jack Eichel's been great the entire tournament, but hasn't necessarily piled up the points. But if it's a two-goal effort for him and a win, like, maybe that would make some sense. So maybe you could do some value hunting, mm-hmm. despite Crosby 350 probably being a good bet as well. I guess I'm going value hunting, but also looking at what I've seen so far. Zach Werenski was hanging around 49-1 while we were preparing for the show to win MVP. No player has more points than Zach Werenski. Crosby clearly tied with Werenski at points with five. Werenski, in the absence of McAvoy, in the absence of Quinn Hughes, has taken on an immense role for this team. And if there is a situation where there isn't like an obvious point,
right,
and you start looking around for, hey, who had a great tournament? Who had a great game today? Who did a lot in this championship victory?
I think he's like the Werenski most minutes
at 49-1 is, yeah, it's, I think it's a good bet.
We have both put quite a lot of money on that one.
Quite a lot. Yes. A decent amount.
A few units. We've put a few units on
Werenski.
Sure,
there you go.
And he was in my Werenski bowl pick the other day.
We've been circling this one for a while.
We are big Werenski guys. We both have Canada, which is minus 108 tonight. Like, it's a pick 'em. But I love Canada.
How could you not? Canada.
It's Canada.
Canada in a championship moment. We win these games. So if it's near Canada, a coin flip, minus 108, yeah, we're taking that.
We're both taking that. Make sure that's noted. And overtime, I've got it plus 320. You know what? Like, this has been a crazy tournament. This has been everything you could have ever wanted and more. Why not a little bonus hockey? It's not like there's no shootout. It's 5-on-5 until somebody scores.
NHL rules, yeah.
I want to see that. It could be amazing. So why not? Overtime plus 320.
And two, anytime goal scorers. This is kind of your lane. Brad Marchand plus 550 in Boston. He's playing fourth line minutes tonight. So I don't know. Maybe this isn't the best value play in the world, but it is a romanticizing play. Yes. We talked about it a lot. Like, what would be the perfect outcome to this game?
Probably him, like, OT.
If he scored an overtime winner, I don't know how people, like, American fans wouldn't know how to react. Boston fans wouldn't know how to react. Though. And, of course, there would be Canadians cheering for Marchand in Boston, which mm-hmm. is a weird thing to suggest, but 550, I will be playing it. And Connor McDavid is plus 250 anytime. Yep. And it feels like if Canada is going to win, McDavid has to be great, because McDavid has had to be great to this point. So Connor McDavid plus 250 anytime. Taking it upon himself, he's usually a little unselfish. Maybe being selfish tonight is the way to go for Canada.
Oh, I can't wait. I feel like I'm playing. Roster's not big enough for me.
Well, did you feel like nervous when you woke up this morning?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Really excited. I went just to the gym and just like ran.
That's a good way to
I was just,
that.
I need to run. Like, need to get the energy
and then
out.
Bought Canadian products.
And then bought lots of Canadian products. Like, I got some great Canadian Honey Crisps that I really triple checked are from Canada. I'm not.
Better not be
around.
Lying.
Oh, I almost went to the store person to make sure. But I went down and was very Canadian today. So.
That's good.
All right, Luke Gazdick's going to join us in studio. He's probably just waiting out there, waiting for us to take a break. We'll bring him in. We will finish up the show here on TV, and then we'll go to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll talk to the other Luke, Luke Fox, who is at TD Garden. We talked to him before the first game, and I'm excited to see what has changed, what he's learned, where he's felt the most excitement covering this. And then at 7:30, we'll just be Justin and I. We'll go through all of your texts. We'll take a look at everyone's thoughts and feelings ahead of the 8 p.m. puck drops. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Fan pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Next half hour here on the network. Then we'll shift over to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. For an hour, we'll chat with Luke Fox at 7 o'clock from TD Garden. We'll get the lay of the land from Boston, but we'll bring in our first Luke of the night, Luke Gazdick, who joins us in studio. You're going to see him later on Sportsnet Central with Ken and Ivanka breaking down the game. Luke, thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here, guys. First Luke of the day. I love that.
Yes. Elliot, we had Elliot, we have Luke, and we have Luke. So
love it.
You
love
have
it.
To set the bar for the other Luke.
Okay? I'll do it. Let's go. I'm fired up.
How are you feeling? Because this is must be so exciting for you. You know, you've got friends playing, you've got pride on the line. Like, he's got a lot in this.
Yeah, all that stuff. Like, I grew up here, right? I grew up just down the street. I'm a Patriot. I remember 02. We actually at my parents' house in North York. We still have the 02 Salt Lake like DVD.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watch that over and over again when I was young, and then. You know, we moved into 2010 and 2014, and I mean, that's when I was playing and still following along with it and still being very, you know, having a lot of pride in my country and now getting to cover it. It's just been, honestly, it's been unreal to cover from this standpoint. I think leading up to it, there was a ton of hype from our side, and I just don't think people knew what to expect. And it's just, I think it's not only matched, but exceeded everyone's expectation. I am certainly a little nervous for tonight. Feeling good about it, but I'm not fully confident. Let's just say that. Just a little nervous.
It's hard to be because the United States, as much as it pains us to say, they're better. They're really good. Not better than the Canadians, but they are better.
They are a better team than they have
grown.
Been in the past.
They've grown to a point where, it feels 50-50 proposition-esque.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
I scared myself
when I said it. So you mentioned 02 and 2010, 2014. What those tournaments didn't have in games were three fights within 9 seconds.
Yeah. Unreal.
Was it just like the best for as a guy who can handle himself
like, can
in those situations?
Can you rate
situations.
Them or walk us
can
through
I
what it felt like when you were watching? Like, no way, they're doing it again.
You know what? The first one off the hop was unreal. Sick. And try watching it with Kenny Reed too, who was going absolutely mental in the studio. one after another. I mean, just not expecting that at all. And the brother dynamic was so funny. It happened a lot in junior. Like I remember in the OHL when things like that would happen back to back, but to see it live on an international stage, I'll give it the first one just because I give Brandon Hagel a lot of credit. Like he is not a guy that throws down a lot. He loves to play that rat role, but doesn't necessarily back it up with fighting a ton. And Matthew Tkachuk is no, you know, heavyweight or even a light heavy, but you know,
He's like feisty enough that he gets his own category.
Feisty and strong, and you know, I give Hags a lot of credit for that because that's pretty legit. And then Benny to go right after it with Brady is just, I mean, we were going nuts in studio. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again.
Sam and Brady were throwing haymakers.
And I think Colton let up on JT a little bit.
So
he looked like he could have absolutely just worked him. I give the boys probably 3 for 3 for that.
There you go.
I just don't think we'll see... Yeah. We might not ever see that again. Mm-hmm. So I think it was honestly one of the most epic starts to a hockey game that I've ever seen.
I don't think it sets a different standard. But tonight, like, how do you approach tonight? Let's say you're in the locker room. Or you're probably not going to fight. But, like, how do you bring that same level of intensity? How do you start the game with such pop and such excitement? Like, that arena is going to be insane. Let's say the fighting isn't going to happen because who wants to sit in the box in a championship game? Like, what is the message? Like, how do you bring that same feistiness without dropping the gloves three times. Like, it feels like a hard standard to set, right?
I feel like that's a huge, going to be a huge point from their coaching staff, is finding that fine line. You certainly don't want to be taking penalties. You don't want to go in the box, but you want to have that edge. And I think it's going to be about finding that tonight, not only for their depth guys. Like, I think their depth guys are going to have to come out and do that. Sam Bennett, Seth Jarvis in the lineup. But even towards the top of the lineup, you're going to need your top guys. I look at a guy like Nate, who doesn't mind playing, you know, with a little edge as well. But finding that fine line, having some discipline, but also, you know, imposing your will a little bit and early. I don't think we're going to see the same kind of start, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did see.
Yeah, you're saying there's got to be a fight. There's never been, according to SportsCenter stats, mm-hmm. a fighting major in a best on best final.
And when they tweet like stuff the like that, it's like, oh, we got
to
do it.
Yeah, I feel like if anyone gets word of that, I feel like it's going to happen for that reason alone.
I just feel like if Matthew goes in on the forecheck and runs over mm-hmm. Doughty on like the second shift, Benny's like Drew's not going to put up with that.
I was on with Feuda today, and he was convinced that one of those two isn't right, and because they're playing but not right, they're going to try to drag someone important
to get
off
the
ice with them because they might not be able to go a full 18 minutes or a full complement of shifts.
That sounds like more of a Kachuk thing to do.
That does sound like a Kachuk thing to do. So I don't know. Who knows what we're going to see tonight. We will see. We expect Braden Point and Mark Stone to play with Connor McDavid. Why has that been better for McDavid than how the tournament started?
You know what? Great question. I look at Coop and the way he was going to manage this first and foremost. What a job he's done in, you know, not having a ton of time to assess whether it's in practices or in games and see who's going to work with each other. But, man, I'll tell you what. Mark Stone, I've covered, played, and watched this game for a long time, and I really don't think I gave Stone enough credit for how valuable he is on a hockey team. Even when we named this roster, he was on my team. Like, I had him on there, but thought he had slowed down a little bit. He's so smart. He's so cerebral. Gets himself in the right positions all the time. He's always in good areas on the ice. Defensively responsible. Same thing with Braden as well. And I think that lets Connor just fly. Like, on that first goal from Connor, he takes off for a stretch pass. As soon as Drew gets that, Connor wants to go. It's a two-line stretch pass in transition. And you have Braden and you have Stone at least back in defensive position, but driving. I think they're just so smart. Braden Point's another guy that we know how good he is. Like, two cups under his belt and obviously has accomplished a lot in the NHL, but you just never know at this international stage which guys are going to stick out and which aren't. And I just think he's had such a good tournament and such a smart, smart hockey player. A lot of finish, plays a 200-foot game. Plays with some physicality. You can see why Coop likes him so much.
Yeah, no, the Lightning guys, you don't like to like them. This has been a weird tournament for a Leafs fan or like a fan of a team, because now you're just like, oh, I love you, Brad Marchand. And like, I never would say those words as a fan. But no, I think I've gained another appreciation for players that you just know are good. But when you watch them and they're in your jersey, you're like, yes, that guy's got something special. And I think, like, for me, I mean, we watch as much Cale Makar as we can. But this, the difference, and like, I look at tonight, Saturday without him, now having him in the lineup, and them losing Charlie McAvoy, like, I see that is like a huge scale tip for Canada. Watching him, you said poise, you said creativity, like, that's him. He is just unbelievable to watch. Like, how much does he just rejuvenate the back end when he's out there?
He's just a difference maker. Yeah. Like, you played, like, there's nobody like him. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever seen anyone as dynamic as him from the blue line. And I really think that's what made the difference on Saturday night, was them having Charlie Canada not having Cale. Like, it was that balance that really threw things off for both teams. The way I look at Cale is just, not even on power play, because there really hasn't even been that much special teams. True. It's 5-on-5. Here's a guy that can get the puck in transition coming around the net, and he can just do it himself. Yeah. He can change the game in a moment's notice. And whether that's jumping up in the rush, whether that's shutting things down defensively, like, he can do it all. And having him there, I mean, Charlie's a big loss. McAvoy's a big loss for the U.S. I thought he was outstanding on Saturday.
Yeah.
Especially knowing physical, he was hurt, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, really the only physical defenseman they have. Like, a lot of the guys are kind of cut from the same cloth now on the U.S. side. Yeah. He was a little different than everybody else.
Yeah, throwing the weight around. Yeah. Like, not an overly big guy, but plays above his size. And I just think with him out and with Cale in, he's a freak. Like, it's a treat to watch him play hockey every time.
I know.
I implore all hockey fans, like, If the Avs are ever playing at night and you're just a casual hockey fan, just watch the Avs.
That's a league pass.
Because every night, it's Nate and Kale doing what they do, and I think the country's getting a look at it right now.
A big problem against the United States was just breaking down the neutral. I don't want to call it a trap because I don't think it was a trap. It was just a good neutral zone performance from the USA, who just denied entries at a very, very fast rate. Does Kale help in that regard specifically? Like, how can Canada, even beyond the addition of Cale Makar here, just do better with their play through neutral ice, gain the zone more effectively?
Yeah, you got to skate. I said that to Kenny before the game. He said if they're going to lock down and they're going to play like a pretty passive 1-2-2, like how does that get beat? If they sink back into a 1-3-1, how does that get beat? You just move your feet. Like if you're going to go D to D and you want to hinge it back, one of our mobile D will start flying. And whether that's Josh Morrissey, whether that's Drew Doughty or Cale Makar, you got to move your feet to break up kind of a zone coverage like that. I thought they did such a good job of it, the U.S., in terms of defending. But I think it is a bit of a different story having Kale in there and with the lines mixed up the way they are now. But these guys are so fast and so dynamic. Like Connor, as soon as he gets it, just boop. All he's got to do is move his feet, skate through traffic, and they'll be fine.
How much, I know you probably already had a high level, but how much of a level of appreciation have you gained from seeing Sid do this at 37, like just be Captain Clutch, in and out, just knowing that he's even a little banged up, like watching what Sidney Crosby does every night?
I think I'm like everyone else here. Like
hard eyes emoji.
Just exactly. I think he was my favorite player growing up. Like many people across this country, it was probably the most starstruck I had ever been is taking an NHL shift against him.
How'd that go?
Oh, I got caught out on an icing, actually. So we were breathing pretty heavy. Thank God we got a draw win and a clear. I sprinted to the bench as fast as possible. But just a living legend. And you can just see how much he's rubbing off on the rest of the guys. I think no matter who you're a fan of, what team, in terms of the kids on the Canadian team, he's helping everybody on that team go back to their respective clubs. So whether it's Mitch coming back to Toronto, Connor going back to Edmonton, Josh going back to Winnipeg, I think they've all learned and picked up something from Sid. It's what's the best thing about best on best hockey is you get to kind of bridge the gap of generations and you get to see the old with the new. And it's just been such a treat to get to watch us see Sid and Connor and Nate, and I can't even stop smiling, like on the ice at the same time. It truly is special. Yeah.
You know Connor McDavid really well. Like what does this mean? Like the Sid partnership representing his country. What do you know about him, about how much this means to him?
He takes a ton of pride in it. Like he was one of the top guys in terms of getting this back and getting on board with this whole tournament. Like leading up into this thing, I kind of mentioned it briefly, but it was not a unanimous yay vote for this among the public and people coming through thinking it's going to be, you know, a glorified all-star game. And I think Connor was a huge part in not only vocally, but now physically showing and leading the way and being like, nah, you know, every time we put on that jersey, it's for real. And I think he's been an absolute star in that regard, on and off the ice, and promoting this thing and leading by example on the ice. He's played some outstanding hockey as well, but you can tell how much pride he takes in it and how much he's missed it. Mm. 9 years of wanting to do this, and he's fired up. Can't wait to see it tonight.
Not to take a detour off of this route, but related to Connor, I saw this video on ESPN with Kat Ellis.
Yeah,
who was interviewing
it a couple
Lauren
times.
Kyle. You set Lauren and Connor McDavid up.
Yeah, I was Cupid matchmaker.
Wow, that's like one of your biggest achievements.
Thanks, Ellis. Appreciate it. That's awesome. No, we lived together his rookie year. So his rookie year in Edmonton, he lived at the house with me and Taylor Hall. So towards the end of the year. Mutual friends, set them up, and the rest is history. I think that's like 10 years ago now, something like that. So, 8, 10 years ago. So, yeah,
I
the
went
rest
on a
is
deep
history.
Dive. I mean, she's like, oh, you know Luke Gazzik? I'm like, I know Luke Gazzik. What do you mean? And
casual.
Then I thought that she was on the date with you, and I was like, what's happening? You dated Lauren. Anyway,
it's a small world. We kind of had some mutual friends, and I mean, they got married this summer.
I mean, it's a good position to be in, like, you know, responsible for, you know, the most recognizable athletes, you know, future and life wedding? And family. Like, that's pretty good. It's something to be proud of.
One of my biggest and proudest accomplishments.
Yeah, we'll have to cut that and make sure we have it down pat. Okay, let's get back on track here. Pressure tonight. Mm. I mean, there's been a lot of criticism of the Toronto Maple Leafs playing for these two teams. There's been criticism of Connor Hellebuyck. Binnington has shouldered a lot of it during this tournament. When you think of the word pressure, what single player comes to mind?
Great question, Justin.
Now I just got nervous.
I think Connor Hellebuyck, to be honest. I think this is, bar none, hands down, the best goaltender in the world who has 2 years in a row in the playoffs. Not single-handedly by any means. It's a team game, but way higher expectations in Winnipeg to do than what they did. He's the one backstopping at the end of the day. Everyone loves to scapegoat a goaltender. So I do really think, Matthews comes to mind. Michie comes to mind on the Canadian side. Connor comes to mind on the Canadian side. But I think this is Hellebuyck, and he has the chance to at least start chipping away at that narrative that, he falters in big games.
What about Binnington? I'm very fascinated with goalies and, their mindset. And we were just talking to Elliot Freeman before he brought you on, and he said that, Binnington was like, this is a rink where I have this really good feeling. He won a game seven there. He knows what it's like. And a lot of people were like, you're the worst goalie ever. Why are you on this roster? Like, it was just like the criticism before the tournament started was like, we will lose this tournament because of Jordan Binnington. And now he's got them to the final. He hasn't had an outstandingly great or poor performance. Like,
what a brutal position to be in, by the way.
I know, it's horrible.
Like, you're going to be the reason we lose.
But, that's what everyone was saying.
I mean, pressure.
I feel like as a goalie, you see that and you're like, I'll show you what's up. Like, he's got to use that as motivation.
I love it, too. He has that confidence, that cockiness, that almost swagger. Like, I'll take him any day going into a do-or-die here, Game 7. I think people forget, Game 6 in 2019, at home, they let in 5 goals, and then he came back to Boston in Game 7 and won that one on the road.
That's crazy.
I think that plays in huge to this. Mm-hmm. Like, Colton Parayko's on that team, too, but Binner is the main story. I think that plays into this is a building that he's familiar with. I do know him a bit off the ice. He's an absolute gamer. He's an absolute competitor. He doesn't even need to stand on his head tonight. Mm-hmm. You just got to give him a chance to win, and those guys will do the rest up front. I love that they've gone this road and this decision. I kind of love how Coop has just stuck with him. I really thought they were going to go to Aiden before the Finland game on Monday. But credit to him. He stuck with him. And I'll tell you, I like to see that cockiness and that swagger off the ice. I hope he feels the same inside because he's going to need it tonight.
Yeah, he's going to have to. It may not be what you want to talk about, but, with the Americans, is there a guy who has stuck out that you just can't help but have an appreciation for?
Another good one. I'll say a combo of the Tkachuk brothers. Yeah. And I know it's something people don't necessarily want to hear. Like, I think,
I mean,
of
how
the name.
How could you not appreciate it?
Zach Werenski is another one that I think is starting to open people's eyes, like how good he is on both sides of the puck. Jacob Slavin is maybe the best defensive defenseman in hockey, but I just look at Matthew and Brady as this like Bash brother combo that is not only two meatheads. They're two guys that can go out and score and change the momentum of a game. They can back it up with their fists. I think everybody knows that though. So I'm going to fall to the Werenski answer because he has been outstanding defending, but also is sick offensively and is having a career year in Columbus. And I think people are seeing that now.
I mean, you give credit for McDavid for, establishing the importance of this, but you have to give the Tkachuks credit for that too. Because
100%.
Clearly they were a big part in making this what it's become over the last week or so.
Yeah.
It takes some serious guts. Like, I fought for a living in pro hockey for 11 years, and to do it in a building full of 21,000 people with millions more watching at home, I can't explain to you that feeling inside you leading up to that event. And I didn't even have a sniff of playing international hockey, so I can't even imagine doing it for your country on an international stage. But I did it in the NHL, and the feeling leading up to a hockey fight at the highest level is like nothing I've ever experienced and possibly won't experience ever again. So I give those guys a lot of credit for, I understand it's Brandon Hagel and say what you want about that, but Takes some serious courage to do that. So I give props to both of those guys.
I had a question about just like orchestrating a fight. You know, there was a lot of talk about them having this group chat or whatever. Like, if you were going to fight a guy, would you communicate that before or in warm-ups? You're like, hey, we're going, or like off the draw. Like, how does it all work behind the scenes?
I never liked the warm-up thing. If people went back and watched some of mine, yeah, sure, there's some that look, I guess, stage. If you want to call like two guys dropping their gloves off a draw stage, but that stuff happened a lot through events that had happened in the game. Mm. Sometimes they were early, but I was never like a preset guy.
You don't have a group chat?
Especially like later in my career when you used to, you know, friends of friends are all over the league. So yeah. I knew a friend of a friend and a guy on the other team. I'm never going to say, hey, ask him if he wants to go in the first period tonight. Or skating across the red in warm-up or stretching in the red in warm-up like, hey, you know, are we going tonight? Unless there had been something egregious that happened the game before, right. I was kind of just locked in and dead set. I always tried to play hockey. Like, I really enjoyed the game too, so I wanted to get out there and touch the puck and hand a little bit. But I used to let the game dictate when a fight was going to happen and step up when the time was needed.
Probably better for the nerve, because you mentioned it, the feeling when you knew it was going to happen. If it happens organically, it happens, right? That's probably easier on like the mental
100%
than having to do that job.
100%. I always felt better. I was explaining this to someone on the radio the other day too. Like, I always felt better after I fought too. It took all the nerves away from me. I always felt like I played my best hockey after a scrap because that part of it was done. I was like, hockey's the easy part. Well, it wasn't the easy part if you watched me play, but like the fighting was the hard part. So usually once I got that out of the way, you could just...
Do you and Ken fight before you go on for Sportsnet Central?
No, we've been pretty amicable.
Well, maybe you guys would have a better show if you drop the gloves.
I know, there hasn't been too many scraps yet. So
oh, that's fun.
Maybe tonight. Yeah. It's going to be a tense atmosphere over in Studio One over there.
Well, best of luck. We really appreciate you jumping on. We'll see you tonight after the game at around 11. So, God, we're on till 8.
This is one of these nights where you need the post game. Like, I need to just, like, sit on the couch.
You need to consume it.
Basically not move a muscle and just continue to consume content regarding the game. So it's perfect.
Hopefully positive content. Me, Kenny, and Ivanka will be there for you guys.
All right. Thanks, Luke. We'll let you go and get set for your long night ahead.
Appreciate it.
That's Luke Gazdick in studio to help us tee it up. You'll see him later on Sportsnet Central tonight with Ken and Ivanka. And yeah, we're just a couple minutes away from wrapping up here, Justin and I, as we get you set for the TV version of the pregame show, which will be all the guys and gals at TD Garden. Getting you set for the game, they got a full 1 hour pregame. We will shift to the radio next, and we will do another hour where we'll be joined by Luke Fox, and we'll take your thoughts. We'll take your text line questions at 590-590, so you can send those in right now. Standard message and data rates do apply. It's a bit open hour, but what are you guys thinking about the Four Nations face-off? How you feeling? Send us a message.
Yeah, send us a message. What's on your mind? What's going on through your head? Like, is this the biggest game you've seen since, I guess, 2014? Is it bigger than 2014? I can't imagine bigger than 2010, but really close. Like, the best thing about tonight, the best thing about this tournament is that it affects us all. Like, Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, we are the fan pregame. If we are pregaming things, that was as big as it gets. But this tonight might supersede that in that it means something to everyone. The result of this game, whether you're on our side of the border, south of the border, cheering for Canada. It doesn't matter. This affects people, unlike two teams who are from regional areas meeting in the Stanley Cup Finals. So this is different. This is bigger. This is as good as it gets.
So Seth Jarvis draws in the lineup tonight for Travis Konecny, and Luke Fox had a great tweet his childhood buddies, not Luke Fox's, Seth Jarvis's childhood buddies, piled into an SUV and drove 30 hours from Winnipeg to get to the game tonight.
So did these guys know? Because 30 hours, 30 hours. I haven't known for 30 hours that Seth Jarvis
was like after their flights got canceled, they got in the car and drove. So
this was he could have been the press box.
He could have been, but they wanted to be there. Shows these how crazy Canadians are. This is probably the biggest game of my career, as Seth Jarvis says so.
I love it.
I feel a little nervous.
That dedication rewarded by the dedication of his friends.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think that he would
know.
Well, you can ask Luke in 5 minutes. I hope that he didn't know because I hope that it just worked out that way, you know?
Me too.
Okay, last-minute predictions on TV here.
I think Canada's winning this
I can't
game.
Believe they wouldn't. Like, let's go.
I think Cale Makar for Charlie McAvoy is the sort of thing, as you mentioned, tips the scales. She and does. I think there's winning the battle and then there's winning the war. And since Saturday night, when the Americans won the battle, they've been banged up. Brady and Matthew banged up. Charlie McAvoy out of the tournament. These guys are feeling it in ways Canada is not. Canada peaking at the right time. I think this is Canada's time to take their turn to win a game head-to-head with the
Me US. Too. I wouldn't have it any other way. Okay, so we'll shift over to Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Enjoy the pregame show here on the TV and go Canada. That was The Fan pregame brought to you by Betano. The game starts now.